Hello everyone, and welcome to another Windows 7 video here at Channel 9. With me today, Gavin Geer. Gavin, please introduce yourself.
So I'm Gavin Geer. I'm a program manager working in the Windows division on the new sensor and location platform.
Cool. My name is Johar Kiyadi. I'm a technical evangelist working on Windows 7. And this is the second video in which we're going to talk about Windows 7 sensor driver development.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first video, we've covered what's exactly the sensor drivers, how do they work. And maybe to now you can actually tell us what API, what functions you need to call in order to implement what you have seen.
Sounds good. So we talked about two interfaces in the introduction video. The outgoing interface that your driver calls, which is the iSensor class extension interface. And then the incoming interface, which is the iSensor driver interface, which is where all the callbacks are implemented. I want to start off by just walking through the different methods on the iSensor class extension interface so that we can understand in general how this is used. And I'm not going to go into real deep details here, but we do have really good MSDN documentation for both of these interfaces.
Cool.
So, as I mentioned in the last video, when your device is enumerated, which translates to an unprepared hardware call in a UMDF driver, what you do is you co-create an instance of the iSensor class extension interface. Since it's the root co-creatable object, and it's the only interface implemented by the sensor DDI. Following that, what you want to do is make an initialize call. And the initialize call basically starts the process by which your sensor device is enumerated by the platform. So after you call initialize, a sequence of callbacks will be raised. One of which is on get supported sensor objects, which we'll talk about when we talk about iSensor driver. And following that succession of callback events, your sensors will be discoverable by application clients, either by tracking the sensor enter, sensor leave events, or by querying for specific sensors. So when your sensor driver is loaded, the on-prepare hardware callback is raised in your UMDF driver. And from that on-prepare callback, on-prepare hardware callback method, what you want to do is co-create an iSensor class extension object, since it is the root co-creatable object for the sensor DDI. Following that, you'll make an initialize call on the iSensor class extension. And what initialize does is trigger a sequence of callback events that your driver will handle. We'll talk about that when we talk about iSensor driver. And that will cause the set of sensors or the individual sensor that your hardware implements support for to be enumerated, and then applications can discover that sensor or those sensors. Uninitialize is kind of the counterpart to initialize. In UMDF drivers, there's an on-release hardware callback that's raised when a sensor driver instance is going away. And that's where you would uninitialize the class extension, which frees resources and performs other teardown tasks. The cleanup file method would be called on iSensor class extension when your UMDF cleanup file callback gets raised. And this typically happens when an application, client application, either hangs or crashes. And when you call iSensor class extension cleanup file, it causes file handles and other resources to be torn down and released. The next method of interest is process I/O control, and this is where WPD ioctls get forwarded to the sensor class extension, since the sensor class extension needs knowledge of those I/O controls and their corresponding data.
Right.
Post state changed method is raised by your device when the availability of data changes or some other state transition takes place. So if we're a GPS device and we've lost a satellite, we no longer have a fix, we'll post a state change event. We'll go from maybe ready to initializing, that kind of thing. When we reacquire a fix, we'll go from initializing back to ready, that kind of thing. Post event is the method that you call when you have new data and when the new data needs to trigger an on data updated event for client applications. So in the first video, we talked about using the current report interval and change sensitivity values to filter when events need to be raised. When you've determined that that has occurred, when applications need new data, you call the post event method with the data objects as a parameter. So that's the iSensor class extension methods. I want to get another quick overview of this iSensor driver interface. Initially, it handles the enumeration of your sensor device, and that's where you expose the sensor or multiple sensors that your device implements support for. Return sensor properties and data, so if metadata or sensor readings are fetched from an application, this interface handles those interactions and returns that data. Sensor configuration, so some of the properties that we mentioned that applications can use to set properties that will alter the runtime behavior of the sensor, how the data is handled, that kind of thing. And then processing other WPD messages as well. So if the sensor class extension doesn't handle the WPD message, and it's something that your driver implements support for, you can handle that in that particular interface. So let's walk through the interface and take a look at what that looks like. And this is a little bit more verbose, so I'll try and aggregate some of these methods together where they're associated in some way.
Sure.
So to start, on-client connect and on-client disconnect are the methods which are raised when an application either obtains an interface pointer that represents your sensor or releases that interface pointer. So when they start to use or stop using a particular sensor exposed by your device. This is one of the key times when you want to reevaluate the criteria that are used to determine when data updates are necessary. The other criteria are the next couple of methods, which are on-client subscribe to event and on-client unsubscribe to event. And this happens when a client application either subscribes to events from a particular sensor or unsubscribes to those events as well. So if a client is connected and subscribe to events, that's when you want to actively take a look at its preferences for data updates, take all of the client applications, and then decide how frequently to update the data based on that.
Cool. So basically, these function, and you can see there are, I mean, the slides show more function, which we'll talk in a second. Mm-hmm. They're very much similar to the API interface mm-hmm. that the application can actually use.
Yes.
They're pretty much parity.
Yeah. Yep.
So it makes sense that everything you ask basically reflects in the driver.
Yeah, and the sensor API has convenience methods for single and bulk property access, yes. for instance, and here we only have sort of the bulk method. So the next method that we probably want to talk about is on get data fields. So when an application makes a get data call on a sensor interface to retrieve one or more sensor readings, ultimately that gets mapped to an on-get data fields callback being raised on our sensor driver, and we take the IDs that are passed to us, get the corresponding data, package it up, and return that data. Likewise, on-get properties would be the same thing, but instead of data being requested by an application, it would be when one or more properties are requested by an application. And that could occur when an application wants to determine the capabilities of the device, manufacturer, or some other criteria. Next, we have on-get supported data fields. So applications can determine whether or not our sensor can return particular types of data and then use that as additional filtering mechanism. Likewise, on-get supported events is a place where our sensor driver returns the complete set of event IDs that we support raising events for.
Right. And so, for example, the last two methods that you mentioned, the supported data field and supported events, are those static bits of information, or they can change according to the different...
Hypothetically, that could change, but typically for a non-logical sensor, for a real device, that's typically going to remain constant.
Yep.
Yep. So the second half of this interface, we've got on-get supported properties. So this is where we return a list of all of the properties, the metadata essentially, that our driver exposes to describe the sensor or sensors. On-get supported sensor objects, this is the method that gets raised by the sensor class extension when we call initialize. So we call initialize, the sensor class extension raises this method to determine which individual sensors or even a singular sensor that our device exposes. So for a composite device like a GPS device with a compass that could return two sensors, a GPS sensor and a compass sensor. You could have five sensors on a device. You could have just a handheld GPS, which only returns one sensor, which could be a GPS. It's really arbitrary.
So basically, you can decide which sensor to initialize?
Well, when you return from on-get supported sensor objects, you're essentially stating how many sensors your device exposes, and specifically what types of sensors those are.
Cool.
So on-process WPD message is the callback that gets raised if we forward a WPD iOctl to the sensor class extension, but it's not used. So if there's any custom WPD, if we have a WPD device, for instance, some sort of media player, mass storage device that has sensors on it, we might want to get those WPD iOctls back so that we can take our own specific actions on those iOctls. And then finally, on-set properties is called when an application sets properties. So some properties, like the persistent unique ID for a sensor, are read-only because they don't change over time. Other properties are settable, like this current report interval property or the change sensitivity property that we mentioned earlier when we were talking about how to throttle the flow of events and to know when to raise data updated events. This on-set properties call is what gets raised essentially when applications set settable properties to a particular value. So that's where we need to maintain a per application list of the values for those properties and reevaluate as they subscribe and unsubscribe from events and as they connect to sensors and disconnect from sensors.
Okay, so beside the iSensor driver methods, what else do we need to do?
So we've got the iSensor class extension interface that we co-create and we use for outgoing calls. We've implemented our iSensor driver methods to handle incoming calls. I wanted to summarize, if you want to basically have a checklist of the different activities that you need to go through in order to support the sensor platform, let's assume, for instance, that you already have a UMDF driver or you're starting with one of our skeleton drivers. The first thing would be initializing the class extension, which is in your on-prepare hardware callback event handler. In on-release hardware, you want to uninitialize the class extension. In your on-device I/O control, iOctl notification callback, you want to forward WPD iOctls to the sensor class extension. And then any of your incoming activities, requests for data, requests for properties, and so on and so forth, are handled in your iSensor driver method implementations.
Right. So basically, you need to implement these two interfaces. They are the sensor class extension.
You use that interface, and then you implement the iSensor driver interface. So we get one interface that we use that's included in the sensor DDI. The other is one that's required that we implement because we have to pass that callback to the initialize method.
Right.
So.
Okay. But even with that, basically, it doesn't look that complicated to develop the sensor driver.
Right. And we've tried to make it as simple and straightforward as possible. You can use C++. You really have the bulk of the implementation done for you already. We have sample hardware, so Windows 7 sensor development kits. We have sample logical sensors. Really, there's a wide variety of tools that you can use to get going.
Right, and you have a board here that is part of the development kit, right?
Correct? Absolutely, yeah. This is the Windows 7 sensor development kit. I'll show real quick. We've got multiple sensors here on the board. We've got complete source code for the firmware on this board. We've got source code for the Windows 7 driver. And we've also got a bunch of sample applications and tools that you can examine the code for. So that's a great starting point for either application or driver developers. Again, there's a skeleton sample in the WDK that you can use to get going.
We have all the links, again, to the other resources posted with this video,
right?
Including the where to get the boards, the drivers, the development kit, and a bunch of examples.
Yeah. So thanks for joining us, and we've got a set of resources that I talked about here. Our Windows Hardware Developer Central site is a great place to get started. There's links to the sensor development kit information. There's links to our MSDN documentation. We've got tech blogs. We've got all sorts of resources there that that you can use, including white papers, to get started with the platform. And we look forward to seeing what everybody's going to implement, drivers for all sorts of devices.
Yes, and you have any questions, any inquiries, so here's the email. Here's the alias email that you can actually send emails. And I'm sure that Gavin will probably monitor the emails on a daily basis. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us on these two videos on how to implement Windows 7 sensor driver. And Gavin, again, thanks. Great pleasure having you here.
Thanks always. For having me by. Appreciate
sure.
it.
Thank you.